Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. There's been some criticism of President Trump's recent visit to the Arlington National Cemetery, where he met and had pictures taken with some families of servicemen who were killed during our stupid abandonment of Afghanistan. It was very appropriate to meet with those families, but the choice of the location was wrong. Trump should have had someone more familiar with military tradition to advise him on the choice of the meeting. Yes, he made a mistake. Despite this, he remains a very competent leader. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. What are you doing in your spare time, Skip? You guys just goofing off now?
Spare time? This concept, spare, that means extra time, right?
Uh-huh.
We don't have any spare time. Colonel, we're canning tomatoes, we're canning green beans. You know, I've been processing deer. This is harvest time, August and September. There is no spare time, but someday I hope to have some.
I'll tell you what, we'll talk after the show and I'll tell you what it's about, the spare time thing.
Okay.
Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss Israel and Taiwan, two democracies surrounded by dictatorships. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. General Arnold Panero will share his insights. Reverend Jeff Grinnell will discuss where our nation's youth stand today. Next, we'll interview Jeff Munkin, West Point's football coach, and Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Surface Academy football games.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Hey, we welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom. Of course, we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, way back when you were a cadet at West Point, you graduated 60 years ago. Can that be right? 60 years ago?
Oh, yeah, it is. Believe me.
Ooh, wow. The Cadet Honor Code was a big part of every cadet's life. It was, a cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. To violate the code, which was enforced by the cadets, meant an immediate discharge from the academy. Over the past few years, it's clear that the honor code is no longer an absolute in the cadets' lives. It's just a goal. A couple of years ago, a West Point football player was caught stealing from a store on the post. He not only wasn't dismissed, he was allowed to continue to play on the team. It has recently been confirmed that the honor code is not an absolute. It's just a goal.
We don't need military leaders who lack integrity. My alma mater needs to return to the absolute standards for honor that it once had. Should you or your family members need to get into combat to protect our nation, what values do you want your leaders to have?
And a U.S. military drone strike killed a senior leader of Haras al-Din, a group in Syria aligned with the al-Qaeda terrorist group, our central command said in an August 23 statement. The strike targeted a prominent figure within the group's Shura Council, responsible for overseeing terrorist activities from Syria. Haras al-Din is a Syria-based force aligned with al-Qaeda that shares the terror group's objective of attacking our and other Western interests. Al-Maki was riding a motorcycle when the precision strike hit. The operation was part of our ongoing commitment to eliminating threats posed by terrorist organizations in the Middle East, particularly those aligned with al-Qaeda.
I'm very glad that we're providing this kind of support for Israel. I suggest that we have Congress declare war on these terrorist groups and their leader, Iran. Then we know who we're fighting and why and when they're defeated, we'll know that the war is over. We don't need another endless war.
Colonel, apparently my mother was right. She always told me motorcycles were dangerous.
Moms are often right.
And a Russian missile slammed into Ukrainian President Zelensky's home city late last month, local authorities said, just as Kyiv Rih was observing an official day of mourning for an attack the previous day that killed four civilians at a hotel. The latest attack on the city struck civilian infrastructure, wounding eight people. This attack, which also wounded five people, was part of a barrage of dozens of missiles and drones across Ukraine that Russia launched for a second consecutive day.
Russian leadership is clearly pure evil. I'm proud of Ukraine for taking the war into Russia. Hopefully, this will encourage the Russian people to seek to end this war.
And 9 of Ukraine's deadliest missile strikes that killed scores of Russians with a single blow took quite a toll. Russia is believed to have lost over 450,000 soldiers during this war. Some Ukrainian strikes have killed scores of Russian troops with a single blow. The war has been brutal and costly for both sides, particularly for invading Russian forces. Reports claimed Russia was hemorrhaging men and weapons in its attempts to capture Avdiivka, a strategic town in eastern Ukraine and a gateway to Russia-occupied Ukraine. The town fell to Russian occupation in February. Now fighting rages on the surrounding areas such as Chasiv Yar. Despite high Russian losses, the country's population is about 3 times the size of Ukraine's, from which Russia could keep replenishing its ranks. In April, Zelensky claimed Russia was preparing to mobilize 300,000 more troops by June. The Kremlin denied this. Russians typically outnumber Ukrainians on the battlefield by almost 3-1, but Ukraine has used weapons such as the U.S.-supplied high-mobility artillery rocket system, or HIMARS, and Western cruise missiles to inflict high casualties on Russian troops. These are believed to be some of the deadliest single moments for Russia in the conflict so far. The UK wants to let Ukraine use its powerful Storm Shadow missiles on Russian soil, but they aren't giving Kiev permission out of concern that we won't back the call. Media reports that London officials have privately been asking us for the go-ahead this summer, but Ukraine has yet to receive the green light to launch the British and French-made cruise missiles on targets inside Russia, a move that it's championed as the next crucial step for the war effort.
It's clear the Ukraine's only advantage is its use of high-tech rockets, missiles, drones, and the like, and they're using them very well. Why we're holding back here, if we're letting Ukraine use our missiles, why a restriction on the UK's missiles? Russia will have to be hurt enough to make them want to end this war of aggression. I have heard that we may be changing our mind and letting Ukraine use all the missiles. I'm not sure.
And our military is open to consultations about escorting Philippine ships in the disputed South China Sea, the head of U.S. Indo-Pacific Command said, amid a spike in hostilities between Beijing and Manila in the disputed waters. Admiral Samuel Paparo's remarks, which he made in response to a question during a news conference in Manila with Philippine Armed Forces Chief General Romero Bruno, provided a glimpse of the mindset of one of the highest American military commanders located outside our mainland on a prospective operation that would risk putting our Navy ships in direct collisions with those of China. Chinese Coast Guard, Navy, and suspected militia ships regularly clash with Philippine vessels during attempts to resupply Filipino sailors stationed in parts of the South China Sea claimed by both countries. As these clashes grow increasingly hostile, resulting in injuries to Filipino sailors and damage to their ships, the Philippine government has faced questions about invoking a treaty alliance with Washington. Paparo and Bronner spoke to reporters about an international military conference in Manila organized by our Indo-Pacific Command, at which China's increasingly assertive actions in the South China Sea were spotlighted. Military and defense officials and diplomats from the U.S. and allied countries attended, but there were no Chinese representatives.
China is the most aggressive nation in the world. It's no secret. They state their goals openly, and also they openly state that they have no restrictions on how they conduct war. We should be helping our Philippine allies, and we should be doing all we can to get every Chinese communist business and agency out of our nation, out of our schools, out of our businesses, out of our farms, out of our nation. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some more wisdom. Then we'll talk with General Arnold Panero. At ease, troops, take a break. In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. In the wake of the recent school mass shootings, what should you tell your children? First and foremost is to give them permission to fight back. If they cower beneath a desk and wait their turn for execution, you'll never see them again. Teach your children to live with a warrior mindset and always fight to save their lives. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices way up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. How about this? Israel and Taiwan are working with each other. In a bid to break out of Israel's growing international isolation, an Israeli delegation visited Taiwan in April, highlighting the strengthening relationship between the two countries. This was the second such Israeli delegation within a year. Despite lacking official diplomatic ties, the two sides share similar historical circumstances. Israel was founded in 1948 and Taiwan in 49. Relations between the two sides have noticeably warmed since the Hamas-led October 7th attack on Israel that killed over 1,100 people. Following the assault, Taipei donated over $500,000 to Israel to help soldiers and their families and to fund municipal services. The accusations against Israel haven't fazed Taiwan, the U.S.-backed island that seeks to assert its identity as a nation but is claimed by China as a breakaway province. Quote, it was Mao Zedong who said, Israel and Taiwan are the basis of operation for imperialism in Asia. They created Israel for the Arabs and Taiwan for us. They both support the same objective, end quote. So almost automatically, if China supports a side, Taiwan will support the other, said Arnaud Bernard, a very left-wing China expert. In Taiwan, he said, much like Israel, a very large percentage of the population is relatively new to the territory as they arrived during the 20th century. Yes, things are much more complicated than they might appear. In February, a Chinese representative said the Palestinians' use of armed struggle to gain independence from foreign and colonial rule was legitimate and well-founded in an international law. Against this background, Taiwan and Israel have found a common cause. Over the past 50 years of their informal relationship, they've signed dozens of agreements to strengthen bilateral ties. In 2022, Israel's trade with Taiwan reached over $2.2 billion. These increasingly warm ties in recent decades weren't always a foregone conclusion, despite their common dependence on us. Starting in 1925, China was ruled by the Nationalist Party, which had a good relationship with us. Then in 1949, Mao Zedong's Communist Party took over, and the Nationalists fled to Taiwan, seeking to be an independent nation. China's national government was supportive of Israel as it emerged from the 1948 war. However, after the Chinese Civil War, Israel recognized the new communist administration in Beijing in 1950. Israel's approach was based on the assumption that being the first Middle Eastern country to recognize Beijing would help them forge a good standing alliance. It didn't. In 1951, the Chinese foreign minister established that, quote, China will not establish relationships with Israel. Establishing relationships with Israel will not bring anything substantial. And besides, this can lead to a worsening of relations with the other countries of the Arab League, end quote. Taiwan initially avoided, or at least publicly, drawing closer to Israel. Up until 1971, Taipei enjoyed full diplomatic relations with Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Kuwait, Oman, and the United Arab Emirates. In addition to the diplomatic assistance these countries provided, Arab Gulf states also accounted for 99% of Taiwan's oil needs. That, however, hasn't stopped the two sides from discreetly developing, quote, a very close security cooperation between the 1960s and 1980s, said Mor Sobol, an expert on China and Middle East relations on Taiwan. During this period, Israel, Taiwan, and the apartheid South Africa formed what the Los Angeles Times called in the 1980s article an allegiance of the shunned. While Israel, like much of the rest of the world, follows the one China policy and doesn't officially recognize Taiwan, there has been a shift since October 7th, given the strong support from Taiwan and the increasing hostility from Beijing. Sobol said that supporting Israel following the Hamas-led attack is, quote, morally justified, but there are other reasons as well. In recent months, Chinese pressure on Taiwan has been growing, with fears in Taipei that Beijing intends to seize control militarily. Quote, one could argue that Taiwan supports Israel because both belong to like-minded countries' alliances that shares diplomatic and liberal values, he said. While the shift may have started before October 7th, owing to our pressure on allies to limit ties with China, some circles in Israel, like the security establishment and academia, are starting to question Israel's policies vis-a-vis Beijing and are asking whether it's time to get closer to Taipei. Taiwan's relationship with Israel, however, remains sensitive. Taipei seems acutely aware it cannot burn all its bridges with the Arab and Muslim world by aligning too closely with Israel. In May, Taiwan announced a $500,000 donation to support Palestinians in Gaza with food, clean water, clothing, and tents. The same month, a Taiwan public media outlet ran a segment on why a large portion of the Taiwanese public sympathizes with Israel over Palestine. Initially published on X and YouTube, the video was quickly pulled. Taiwanese perspectives on Israel and Palestine are largely shaped by their country's perceived geopolitical needs. Many see Israel as a part of the same strategic camp as Taiwan, and we, while viewing China's support for Palestine as being in an opposite camp. So, we can and do support both countries, but politics seem to be a huge issue here. Israel and Taiwan are the only democracies in their areas and are under either attack or the threat of attack every day, and they have a lot in common. It's good that they are working together more now than ever before. We need to stand with them in this mess. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. We're listening to Front Lines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. You're going to talk about icebreakers today, aren't you, Roland? That's one of my favorite subjects.
Well, Colonel, it looks like the Coast Guard finally has a new icebreaker, but it's not like you would think. Last week, the Coast Guard announced it will homeport its newest icebreaker, a commercially acquired ship to be adapted for Homeland Security, in Chinook, Alaska. At the same time, the 27-year-old icebreaker Healy had cut short its summer deployment to the Arctic due to a fire on the ship in late July. The Healy is currently the only medium ocean-going icebreaker in the entire Coast Guard. And this is the second time in 4 years that the Healy has had a fire on board. So this means the U.S. will have no icebreakers in the Arctic this year. So in a rush to do something, the Coast Guard has purchased the 360-foot IVIC, and it should have it retrofitted for Homeland Security missions by 2026. The IVIC is an Arctic oil exploration support vessel with the capability to serve as a medium icebreaker, which means it can traverse ice thickness of roughly 4.5 feet at 3 knots. The idea of buying the IVIC was first brought up in 2016, but it was quickly dismissed by the Coast Guard as it just wouldn't meet their requirements. But that was all before the Coast Guard found itself facing delays in securing replacement icebreakers. And now the 48-year-old Polar Star is now the nation's only heavy-duty icebreaker. And its sister ship, the Polar Sea, it was determined to be too costly to fix and refurbish to keep it in service. So the Coast Guard is working on a contract to build 3 new icebreakers. And the first ship was scheduled to be delivered last year in 2023. However, the company that the contract was awarded to was purchased, and that acquisition has added to more delays. In addition, there hasn't been an icebreaker built in the United States in many decades, and it seems that shipyards are running into unforeseen issues in building these things. Now, in defense of the Coast Guard, they have been asking for money to add more icebreakers for decades, and Congress finally gave in, but way too late to avoid all of these different issues that we're running into this year. And this is especially important as Russia has invested heavily in the Arctic, and they currently have over 40 icebreakers. And it sounds like we won't even have one operational icebreaker in the Arctic this year. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with General Arnold Panero. Then we'll discuss the youth of America and their values. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50, then stand at ease.
As veterans, we at Concerned Veterans for America know defending freedom comes at a high cost. Our lawmakers should consider that cost when they send troops to war.
If wars don't serve our national interest, our brave men and women shouldn't be deployed into harm's way. Our troops should not be in combat because Congress doesn't want to make tough decisions about military engagement.
Find out how you can join the movement to end our nation's endless wars at cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show retired Marine Major General Arnold Panero. Like me, he led a rifle platoon in Vietnam. He stayed in the Marine Reserves, and while there, he was the senior staffer to the U.S. Senate's Armed Services Committee. He's done a whole bunch of other stuff. Welcome, Arnold. Thanks for joining us.
Denny, always a privilege to be with you and your listeners.
I'll take just a minute now and mention some of the things you've done since you were a rifle platoon leader.
Well, as you mentioned, Denny, you and I had the privilege of commanding troops at the infantry grunt level in Vietnam. And our troops, most of them in my platoon, were all draftees. I'm sure yours as well. And they did everything their country asked of them and never got the thanks they deserved. After that, I was fortunate enough to go work in the United States Senate and ultimately the staff director of the Senate Armed Services Committee that's responsible for funding our military. And then have worked in the private sector in the defense and aerospace industry since, but also chaired a lot of commissions on improving the bang for the buck that we get for the dollars we spend, beefing up our military, our big industrial associations, because as you know, we live in a world today that is more dangerous and turbulent than the peak of the Cold War.
Yes, sir. I could not agree more. Now, our nation's got a whole bunch of big problems right now. We can't cover them all, but you were just talking about the federal military budget. Our economy right now has got so much debt, it's ridiculous. And the funding for our military, that's a huge issue to me. I think you agree.
Yeah, Denny, people need to understand the facts and figures of a $31 trillion deficit, but we have to pay interest on that debt. And in fiscal 24, that'll end here at the end of September, for this last fiscal year, we will spend more in outlays. That's actual checks that we are writing for interest on the debt. It will be tens of billion dollars more than we are spending on our own national security. So we're spending more for the privilege of borrowing other people's money than we're spending on providing for the common defense. When I was growing up, my father, who was a World War II vet, fought in Patton's Army in Europe, used to say, son, when your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. And we are unfortunately on that track today. And we've got to do something about tackling these deficits. It's like people say, well, Arnold, why do deficit matters? I said, look, why does rust on a steel bridge matter? Because you don't know how long that rust is going to basically take to undermine the fundamental structure. But at some point, that bridge is going to fall and not be able to do its mission. That's the same thing that's happening with these deficits, which are basically over time eroding the underpinnings and the fundamentals of our economy. So you're correct. We have got to do something about it. And you can't do it overnight. It's something where everybody's got to sacrifice. It'll take 10 years to get it back in the way it ought to be. And we've got to put everything on the table.
And that means cutting the federal budget. They have to spend less, whether it's
that's correct
on everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And where the runaway spending is, it's not on defense, it's on the entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, Medicare retirement. And of course, these are all hugely popular programs. Neither political party right now, they're both saying, hey, we're not going to touch Social Security. We're not going to touch Medicare. Well, that's where all the money is.
Unfortunately, you're right on. That's a really, shall we say, awkward issue. But
it is.
But finding some people we can elect that will admit that and say that and run on it and then do it, that's a hard job, isn't it?
And you do it over the long term. Again, you want to take 10 years to do this because you don't want to put anybody in a very adverse situation. But look, when Social Security was first put in place, people died at age 60. Same thing for military retirement. Now the average age is 84. And so the problem is, you know, we're outliving the fundamentals of when these programs were set up. And so maybe you could basically, people could start taking their Social Security a little bit later in life. You could have means testing, meaning people that don't really need it. Let's spend it on those that do need it. There's so many things that you could do. But you don't want to do anything overnight. You don't want to do anything retroactive. You want to do it all prospective. And you put everything on the table. And you could do this if you did it over a 10-year period. But neither political party right now wants to tackle these things because they're so flippantly important to everybody around the country.
Yes, sir. And that certainly is a huge influence on what we can afford to do with our military. Just supplying us is our military is huge here. Okay, we could talk about that one some more, but I think the next topic is our southern border and over 10 million people. You know, if only 1% of those 10 million were bad people, terrorists, whatever, that's 100,000.
You know,
and then there's the ones that just need care.
Yeah, Denny, we have got to have secure borders. It used to be that, you know, in the peak of World War II, we felt like we were protected because we had the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean. But frankly, we've got to worry a lot about homeland defense, of which our borders are a central part. People can attack us now from cyber and space. They don't have to come across the ocean. And people can attack us by through insecure borders. So we've got to basically beef up our ability to protect our homeland from the air, from the sea, from the land. And the land, of course, is a porous border. So all of those things have to fundamentally be beefed up so that we can protect our own homeland in this very dangerous world that we live in. And again, we're not talking about China sending an army across the Pacific Ocean. They're not going to do that. Neither is Russia. Neither is Iran. But they're going to send long-range ballistic missiles, or the Russian submarines now, because there's no more polar ice cap. They can get off the East Coast very rapidly when they never could before. And the warning time for missiles from a submarine for the nation's capital is under 10 minutes.
And that's, you know, we just have to secure our border. And I know a number of former Border Patrolmen that are just so frustrated they can't stand it. We just have to do it. But it's going to take, it can't be that hard to reinstitute border control. But
Denny, you and I in our platoons, every night we set up our perimeter, 360 perimeter, because you didn't want anybody to come inside your perimeter. So we have the southern border. It's a long border and it's difficult, but they're a combination of border walls, technology, people, law enforcement, things that can be done to basically shut it down.
Yes, sir. And I don't think it would take 10 years to do that. I think we could
do it. It would not. It absolutely would not.
A few months if we set it. But then there's the 10 to 15 million people already in our country. I've talked to people in some cities that said that mom broke her arm, but we took her to the hospital, but they were full. They couldn't take her in.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that would have to be sorted out over time. You're not going to be able to fix that overnight either.
It's easy to say we'll just deport them again, but I don't think that's as easily, very easily done.
Well, and two, we're a nation of immigrants. I wouldn't be here if my father's parents and my grandparents were not allowed to immigrate from Italy in the early 1900s. And you look at the contributions that immigrants have made over time, but you want legal immigration. You don't want illegal immigration. So
yes,
we've got to be very careful when we talk about anybody that's come to this country shouldn't be here, because most everybody's families came from somewhere other than the Native Americans.
Yes, sir. I'm guilty, too. So therefore, yeah. Maybe I'm proud of it, too. Maybe
well, I am, too. My Italian grandparents on both sides and my mother and father, they built a great life in this country, passed it on to me, and I hope to be able to pass it on to my kids and my grandkids.
I agree totally. Now, we do have laws about how people who are not citizens can come into our country.
Right.
But our federal government is breaking those laws?
Well, I guess you would say they're not enforcing them sufficiently.
Well, they are. They're flying planes over. I mean, they're you know, anyway, whatever. That's an issue that we need the federal government to take security of our borders, take it seriously. I guess that's the
yeah.
bottom line there.
Yep. And yeah, understand completely.
There's just, you know, I am really, really, really concerned, and we have no way of knowing how many terrorists or drug smugglers or we've got in here, and at some point that'll surface.
Yes, that's true. But I'll tell you, Denny, there are also a lot of bad actors that were born and live and grow up in the United States of America. So crime is also homegrown as well.
Yes, sir. Good point. There's more to discuss about our nation's challenges, and General Panero will stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I'm going to do 103 push-ups. That's how I do, well, I used to do every day, now every other day or so. Well, then let's take a break, but stay in the area. General Panero and I will be right back. If you ever have to defend yourself or your family, you will likely need legal support, as there is almost always an investigation. After you call 911, call U.S. Law Shield so you can have immediate legal support. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events they never thought would happen to them. Their attorneys are available 24/7, 365. Learn more or sign up at uslawshield.com, promo code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com, promo code FRONTLINES.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
It's that time of the year again. The U.S. Mint is making their new 2024 American Silver Eagle and American Gold Eagle coins, and there's no better time to shore up your investment in precious metals than now. Call Universal Coin and Bullion at 800-UCB Gold to get great prices on the finest gold and silver coins of the year. I work with Universal Coin and Bullion because they're a company that you can trust. So give them a call at 800-UCB Gold. That's 800-UCB Gold, or check them out at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General Arnold Panero. General, we're sort of supporting two countries at war, Ukraine and Israel, and both of them are innocent people who got attacked, and I support supporting them, but there's only so much we can do. What are your thoughts on Ukraine right now?
Well, absolutely, Denny. Both of them basically face existential threats, and both of them are long, proud allies of ours and partners. And I would say on Ukraine, fortunately, the Ukraine military leadership has gotten the green light to basically attack and not allow Russia to have sanctuaries on their own territory. So they're beginning to take the attack to Russian supply lines, supply depots, civilian cantonment areas in Mother Russia. And so that's a good thing. I think we need to do more of that. Obviously, I wish we'd have given Ukraine more of the implements of war that they needed early on. Things have gotten better over time. We need to continue to support them. As you know, it's a big political football in this country right now. However, you know, there's strong bipartisan support continues. And obviously, everybody knows that if Russia and Putin are allowed to succeed in Ukraine, they're not going to stop in Ukraine. They're going to move west. They're going to move against NATO nations. And then we're going to deal with Article 5. So I don't think the United States and our allies could have stood pat and allowed Putin to get away with his unprovoked attack into Ukraine. And I think we need to continue to support them in every way we can. But as you sort of hinted at, we've got to also, at the same time, the United States military has got to be prepared to deter aggression, not just from Russia, but from China, Iran, North Korea. And we've got to make sure that we have within our own stockpiles and inventories the ability to sustain our military should deterrence fail.
Yes, sir. I agree. I am delighted that Russia is now feeling what it's like to be invaded since Ukraine is now hitting back, not just inside Ukraine, but into Russia. And from what I've read, the Russian people don't like that. But I don't think that's really a democracy. So what the people like or don't like probably doesn't have that much impact there.
Unfortunately, popular opinion in Russia doesn't impact the top leadership, and they don't care. And, you know, this is a country where Stalin basically oversaw the execution of millions and millions and millions of his own citizens. So unfortunately, you know, that's probably not going to put any pressure on Putin, but it certainly, the more the Ukrainians can devastate the Russian military, the better the outcome.
It is. And Russia is having trouble. Well, they haven't even had a draft in a long time, but they do now. And Putin promised the draftees that they wouldn't be sent into Ukraine, but he's sending them into Ukraine. So apparently the satisfaction of the people has some impact, but Ukraine seems to be hurting them. So my concern for Ukraine, assuming that we and NATO and other people can support them, is not weapons and equipment, but manpower.
That's they're struggling on the manpower side as well, and they've suffered a lot of casualties. Russia continues to attack civilian targets. They attacked a school and killed 41 children. I mean, it's ridiculous that what Russia and Putin are getting away with. And, you know, they're attacking their energy infrastructure. They're attacking a lot of their electrical grids to basically try to freeze the Ukrainians in winter. So it's a very, very adverse, difficult situation over there right now.
And I think we need to realize that Russia truly is an enemy. And the fact that they aren't focused on us right now militarily doesn't mean that they aren't all the technical ways they can go about it and supporting anything that's going on in our country.
Exactly. No, you and of course NATO's at risk, and Russia continues to try to influence things in the United States through bots and social media and cyber and things of that nature.
So that's one heck of a mess. Then there's Israel, and I am so supportive of Israel, I can't find the words for it. And that part of that's emotional, I think, and part of it's.
But I think many people forget what happened on October 7th, an unprovoked attack where Hamas got into Israel, and unfortunately, Israel's intelligence let them down, their military let them down, but they killed thousands of innocent people, and then they took these hostages, and they just decided. When they saw that the Israeli Defense Forces were getting ready to rescue some of them, they just murdered them. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the atrocities. And you know, people put pressure on Israel. Surely we all feel for the plight of the innocent Palestinian civilians that Hamas uses as shields and targets. But you've got Hezbollah in Lebanon attacking Israel. You've got the Houthis out of North Yemen attacking Israel. You've got Hamas attacking Israel, and of course, you've got Iran behind the whole thing, and we don't put any pressure on Iran. Iran doesn't feel anything at risk, so they continue to export and push their allies to go after Israel.
And that, to me, is insane. And the International Court of Justice has got the head of Israel as a person they want to charge with criminal.
No, I mean, those international courts, I mean, they're just the process is way too slow to have any meaningful impact on anything.
But one wonders why anybody would support them for any reason at all, since they don't seem to follow any values.
I agree. So, I mean, it's look, we've got to make sure Israel has what they need to basically defeat Hamas and defeat Iran and protect the sovereignty of their country.
And they seem to do a really good job of it. But then again, they are also small and only have so much funds. I'm glad we're supporting them. And they aren't looking for us to send troops in or anything else. So, yeah, standing with them is one of the things that I am very, very happy that we're doing and doing as well as we are. But that isn't going to go away either.
Well, and over the weekend, U.S. forces and our allies got into a firefight with ISIS. So ISIS hasn't gone away. And of course, you know, they hate everybody, including Iran and Israel and the United States and all our allies.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be any shortage of hate.
No, that's why I say the world is more dangerous and turbulent than the peak of the Cold War.
And that is scary as heck.
Yeah, and we've got to be clear-eyed about it and not be Pollyannish about it.
You know, I think you just hit the nail right on the head. If we would just look at the facts, deal with the facts, that could solve most of our problems, wouldn't it?
That's right. And China certainly, I don't know if you want to use the word enemy, but they're certainly a serious adversary. And they want to take over the world economy. They want to take over militarily, technologically, and diplomatically. And who's kidding? They put it in all their documents. They announce it to the world. This is what they're going to do.
And they've also said there'll be no restrictions. They don't have any value set
that's right.
Restrict them. They'll do
other
whatever.
Than the predominance of the Chinese Communist Party.
Yes. So, but other than that, everything's cool.
Let's just say one good news thing is the University of Georgia Bulldogs are off to a good start, Diddy. And I know Michigan is as well. So maybe we'll meet in the finals.
Hey, there's a goal. There's a goal. Arnold, final comment. What final comment you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Look, Denny, we've talked about all the trouble spots in the world, but there's also, you know, a lot of positive going on. I mean, just look at the success of the United States Olympic team, our young athletes of every stripe and gender and color and every different kind of thing, and how well-spoken and how well-behaved they were compared to other people. Our economy is growing. Our people are upbeat. Things are, you know, so there's a lot that's going well. Our education system is as troubled as some people think it is. We still have, you know, more people from around the world want to come be educated in the United States of America and not the reverse. So there's a lot of positives going on. And I think what we have to do is enhance the positives and try to fix the negatives both at the same time.
Yes, sir. And this is an election year, so we can ask people that want our vote where they stand on that.
You got that right.
Thank you, Arnold, for your great comments today and for your nonstop service to our nation. I'm proud that we're friends.
Anytime, Benny. Likewise.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Jeff Grinnell about the next generation. He's working with him. Then we'll meet the Army's football coach, Jeff Munkin. And then Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. U.S. Law Shield is a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. If you have weapons for self-defense of your family and yourself, and you ever need to use a legal weapon, you'll need legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I use. Go to uslawshield.com. Use the promo Frontlines. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Truth is time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones, maybe 20 more push-ups. Then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.